call the budget committee meeting to get their order. All the commissioners are present, all the members of the budget committee are in attendance. Should we go ahead and do everything through seven or go down to seven and do the?
Well, I would do approval of the minutes. We can just follow the agenda.
Okay.
I may skip around, but yeah.
Okay. I need a motion to approve the minutes for the budget committee for 2015-16, minutes of March 30th.
Second?
Commissioner Ainsworth, second by Mr. Watson to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Pass unanimously. Tentatively approved budget for 2015-16.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet on pages 35 and 36 are the actions that occurred during the initial budget hearings that we had at the end of March and the first of April. There were never really any modifications to the proposed budget by the budget committee at that time. We did add one thing to our wish list, which was two corrections deputies. I think that's taken care of itself with the passage of the operating levy, so I'm assuming that we no longer need to talk about the adding two deputies. And I hope you're not suggesting that we add two additional beyond the operating levy. So the other thing that was on your discussion list was CASA. I've been working with CASA, and I've been working with the DA. We're in the process of looking to transition our CASA program out of the county courthouse where it currently resides. It currently resides up in Aaron's office. We have found them some rental space across from the academy building that I am currently negotiating a lease on for them. They will sign the lease and be the tenants of that. It will probably require some kind of initial county funding to the CASA program. That's not shown in this budget. We haven't determined the exact amount yet, but I have talked with them and suggested kind of a three-year glide path to make them go from a pure nonprofit at the end to, I mean, they don't have enough money to sustain themselves right now. They are currently working on additional funding, additional grants and those things. And to help this transition occur, it's probably going to require some kind of funding from the county in year one, a lesser amount in year two, and then hopefully in year three, a very small amount. And by amounts, I'm talking in year one, the max probably being $25,000, in year two, the max being $15,000, and in year three, the max being $5,000. They are, like I said, in the process of seeking grant funding. If they are successful in any of those grant funds, and some of them are amounting as high as $60,000, that transition money would then kind of leave the table. But to ensure their success, and truly we want this program to continue and be successful, it's an important program. It provides a service. I'm sure if we had the judges here, they would echo that this program is desirable, and they have done a lot in the last few years to increase their membership as CASAs and that. And CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And it's a process you go through, and it's a time-consuming process, actually, if you want to be a CASA, but it's very rewarding, and I think this transition plan is the best way to go, especially after the levy passed. The space up in the DA's office is not adequate to continue to house them anyway, so I think this is a positive move for everyone. And in most counties, a CASA is outside of the county umbrella, and they exist as a nonprofit. However, most counties do supplement them in some way, shape, or form to help them exist. They're excited about it and happy about it. So I think in this case, as Mr. much as possible. It's a win-win situation for everyone. And I'd like to thank Aaron for his efforts on it. And if Casa were here, I would also thank them for moving in that direction. So that's your update on Casa. We haven't finalized the details, but we're getting closer. But it will probably be a small impact to the county budget. Or it may not, depending on the grant fund. So that's what you have there. The supplemental information, I have handed you out two handouts. One is the cost of living, and we've talked about that. Currently, we're in negotiations with most of our labor unions. We have one settled, and the other three are one's in the full-blown negotiations. The other two are in salary-only negotiations. I gave you the news on our health insurance, and I gave you the news on PERS and its potential impact to the county. So those are elements that are going to be a negative impact to the county in the way of COLAs and health insurance and PERS. The other handout I gave you was involving something that you will be doing at the very end of this hearing, which is determining the operating levy and the modified tax rate based on SRS. I wrote a nice, beautiful memo, so I handed it out anyway. But I found out the information from Commissioner Pope about 5 minutes after I finished it, so I still gave it to you anyway. But my recommendation is that we will be going with option three, which is close to the amount that I put in my memo for the operating levy. And what that is option three is our levy less the amount that we're going to receive in SRS money, which is what we received in 2013 less 5%, which amounts to about $749,842, if you want to get kind of exact. That would require us to modify our levy in year one from the 45 cents per thousand down to 0.3089, so over 30 cents but under 31 cents. And that would be your new tax rate for that year one. Year two tax rate would be offset probably by a lesser amount, because in year two of the SRS, we're supposed to get 5% less. And as a percentage of the total, it will be less also. So, but it would be offset in year two. Hopefully, I don't receive both years before June and have to make those adjustments. But it is what it is. The one thing about the budget committee, whatever rates you do decide to set as a budget committee, those are the cap rates. I can't increase those, or the board can't increase those upon adoption. They can't lower them, but they cannot increase them. So whatever rates we end up setting, we almost always set the permanent rate as our tax rate. We set a levy rate, I think in my proposed budget, it was at $2.8 million. Moved it down to $2.75 million for the road bond, and then whatever we decide on as a budget committee for the operating levy rate. And again, my recommendation in my handout is would be option three to go with that amount at this time. And if anything changes, we could adjust downward, but not upward. So those are the information I have for supplemental information. The next pages in your packet are formal approval of the budget. We will go with the formal approval of the budget with the levy memo, not the one without the levy memo. And I will let you know how it has come about. There are a whole bunch of recommendations. One is to formally approve the budget. The other is to approve the 1.716 per thousand as the permanent tax rate, to go with $2,750,000 as the debt service levy. And the number I have in my memo be adjusted to the new rate of 0.3089 cents per thousand. This would be the new tax rate that I would recommend for you to approve upon formal approval. It would be down to item 7 of the agenda. There have been a number of things that have occurred with revenues and that. Obviously, the increase in the beginning fund balance is the result of SRS monies and just the natural conservative number I utilized in the March hearings. Unfortunately, during the March hearings, I used the $388,000 of BLM or cut money, and I also used the full levy amount. So we kind of inflated our March and April hearings with that, because I didn't think we were getting SRS money, period. But it occurred afterwards, and as a result, I needed to deduct that $388 as an offset to the operating levy. So our March and April hearings, we were actually probably a little better off than we are after the levy passed. But it is what it is. We still have adequate money to provide everything we promised in the levy and provide everything we did in the proposed and tentatively approved budget. There have been some changes in 1145 and 3194 monies that we have incorporated into this budget. Unfortunately, those numbers could have been even an additional $150,000 more. However, our rates for, remember we talked about the size of the pie getting bigger? Well, the size of the pie did get bigger, but our slice got narrower. We went from 1.57 as our percentage of the total pie down to 1.46. That equates to about $300,000 lost for the biennium, or about $150,000 per year. And that's been a trend for the last two cycles. 2 years ago, or before the 1.57, we were at 1.72 or 1.73. So in 4 years, we've gone from we've dropped about 0.35 of a percent. That equates to, in those last 4 years, if you added it all up, it's almost $1 million that we've missed out on. So that's what the impacts of our public safety decline and the lack of getting felony convictions and arrests and those things impact you for Marty's money for 1145 and 3194. Will that change with the public safety levy? I can't imagine that it gets worse when we get more officers back on the road and Aaron has additional prosecutors to handle those caseloads. But it just shows that everything is tied together in the public safety system, and you can't get. There's impacts when you have one that's not functioning on all cylinders. It is what it is. There are other changes that are going to occur in the proposed budget. We made a small increase in the planning department, and that $10,000 is for the ability for our planning department to contract out some services. Staffing wise, we're in a flux up there. We may end up contracting some of that out in the time being until we can find the right fit for employees. Will he need that 10? Probably not, but I just put it in there just in case. Again, we're increasing the district attorney, we're increasing the sheriff or patrol, we're increasing the sheriff jail. Those are all as a result of the levy. You'll see 5 FTE in my memo that say deputy DA. Actually, it's 5 FTE in the DA's office. 3 of them will be deputy DAs. 2 of them will be legal secretaries, and they'll begin those hiring processes over the next couple of weeks, at least getting the announcements out of that. Maybe it'll take them a month to figure out exactly how they want to design the department in that. Sheriff Patrol is the addition of 12 additional patrol deputies. And then in the sheriff jail, there's an additional 5 FTE corrections deputies. If you remember, in the tentatively approved budget, we already had juvenile detention beds included in the transfer and in the amount of monies that go to
the juvenile department, so there is no change in that. We would have made a deduction if the levy had failed to the juvenile transfer, but because it passed, that stays status quo. And then for community corrections, there is some additional monies. Like I said, I was hoping it could have been more, but the slice of the pie narrowed down. We have about an additional $175,000 in the community corrections department. That's going to be dedicated to mostly 3194 things, and those are spelled out in the 3194 monies. There is an addition of one FTE, and that's going to be kind of a, it won't be a probation officer. It's going to be a pretty much a transition services type of person that helps these people as they're transitioning out, ensure that they find all the adequate services that they need to help them ensure they don't reoffend, or give them as good a chance to not reoffend. Obviously, we have to take the operating levy out of the dummy program that contained it all in the March hearings. We'll delete that. And then we're going to end up decreasing our contingency when it's all said and done because of the $388,000 extra revenue I had in there. You're going to need to decrease the contingency by a little over $200,000 to balance the budget. The net effect in the approved with levy for the general fund total budget is going to be actually a drop of about $75,000 when it's all said and done. So you'll be approving a budget that is $75,000 less than what you tentatively approved in March and April. The other funds that are going to be I'm recommending that we make changes to are our public works fund, increasing that by $150,000. That's in the way of beginning fund balance. Their beginning fund balance is going to be greater than what we anticipated at the March and April hearings. $50,000 of that, of those monies, are going to be placed in contingency, or that's where I'm recommending they go. The other $100,000 is going to go into road maintenance and primarily into chip seal. So that's how that $150,000 of additional revenue is going to be spent. In the way of building improvement, there's going to be an increase in transfer from the management services fund of $250,000. So there will be a total transfer from management services for the building improvement fund of $750,000. Right now, our building improvement fund is in a negative balance. This is repayment by the academy remodel, and primarily additional remodeling that we did for our behavioral health department, and their repayment the remodel that occurred now 2.5 years ago. And 2.5 years ago, we didn't have adequate funds, but we do have adequate funds now, so they're making that repayment and reducing that negative balance in that fund. Management services fund is going up $250,000. That's in the way of additional rent being charged to behavioral health, which then is getting transferred to building improvement. So that's a double accounting of about $500,000 because of that. Health services, making some minor changes to our family and community outreach. There were revenue reductions at the state level, and that total change is $14,000. So nothing really significant to talk about there. And then we're going to have a net increase in our behavioral health, what was tentatively approved and what I'm recommending for approval, $727,000. That's in the way of primarily beginning fund balance. There were some revenue reductions in some of their funding sources, but I did increase their beginning fund balance by $800,000 from what we met in March and April, and then the reductions made it a net of $727,000. The primary areas where those additional revenues are being placed are one in the rent, which is then goes to the management services, then goes to building improvement that goes to pay off our past sins for the academy remodel. The remainder of it then falls into either contingency. The recommended contingency for behavioral health in this case is going to now be over $1 million. In the past, we've had it in the $250,000, $300,000 range. So increasing that contingency, because I've found in about every 5 years, what goes up really comes down hard. And
are we going to continue to see this go up for a year or so now? Or what's going to happen?
That's the magic question.
It's a $64,000 question.
The question or the statement usually is, I don't see how it can continue, but we have budget hearings tomorrow for the BCN, which is a dual county operation. If I had to guess, I would say your funding at least for the 2015-2016 is going to even exceed what we have in this tentatively approved and then formally approved budget. There is a good chance that I will increase the beginning fund balance again from what you guys do today to what we adopt a month from now. Okay. And that could be by an additional $500,000. So, the money is flowing, however,
it gets cut off and taken back.
There is exposure out there and enough transition that you do not know the reality too far out in the future. But in the near future, there's more than adequate money flowing. Trying to provide all the services for the clients that are now on or in the system is the difficult thing for us to do. You'll see down in outpatient services, that's not an increase in FTE of that 200,000. That's increase in contract services. We are strongly looking at trying to contract out a lot of this work so we don't have to lay off people in the future when it crashes like we did 2 years ago. Yeah. So those are the efforts we're making to try to, when the rug gets pulled out, we don't feel the impacts that we did, like I said, 2 years ago. But right now it's flowing at a strong rate.
And it's hard to get contractors to come to Polk County. That's the problem. They're all over in Marion County.
And it's hard to get nonprofits to locate over here. And the RFP process was done about 4 months ago by the BCM, which is the organization that helps manage this. They put incentives for organizations to locate in Polk County. No takers. So on the Marion County side, they have a lot of nonprofits and that are providing, so they contract out a bunch of that work on our site. We just have to fill it by staff. But when the funding goes, unfortunately, we have to lay off staff. And it's just not an ideal
situation.
But that's the situation we're playing with. So when it's all said and done, you look at all the total budgets and that, you're looking at a recommended for approval budget of one that is $1,268,000 greater than what we discussed in March and April. Like I said, the general fund's down a little, public works and behavioral health are up a little, and then you have the building improvement and management services up due to the rent and charge. And everything else is minor after that. So, in your packet is the detail pages of where those line item changes show up. Line item changes in revenue. You will see that we're going to have a levy amount of, that we're going to net about $1,550,000 from our levy with this new revised number. But your beginning fund balance number is about $500,000 greater than what we discussed in March and April. So, and then I made the tweaks to 1145 monies, and that. Beyond that, there is no need, obviously, to talk about the without levy budget, which is another 20 or 30 pages in the packet. So that gets you
pretty much to item seven, but you have the opportunity to have public comment if you want to. You're not required by law, but we've always opened it up to the public and asked if they have any questions or comments or whatever. The only thing on your agenda, the item C under number seven, should say 2015-2016, when we do set the rates, or item 14-15. But that's it for my presentation. If you guys have questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Any questions?
Yes.
So let's go back to, since we brought up the issue of the unappropriated balance of $300,000, so bring us up to speed on where we are on that back landing.
Well, I've looked at numerous budgets, other county budgets. They are all over the board in amounts. I believe Linda has talked to our auditors, and he says that amount technically is low, but it doesn't really matter. Whether we have it in there or not, it's more ceremonial than anything else. You could move that all to contingency if you want, or in reality, if you wanted a true guaranteed cash flow, you would have to build an unappropriated ending fund balance of over $2 million. And I'm not recommending that, nor would I ever recommend that. But we use it as a combination, and you have the contingency of, in this case, a little over $1.5 million, and then the $300,000 on top gets you to about $1.8 million. So, but it is completely up to the budget committee whether you want to continue that practice of having a $300,000 ceremonial unappropriated ending fund balance. It really does not serve an adequate purpose, nor would we ever, or nor would I ever recommend one that gets you to prevent all your cash flow issues. So it's just been kind of a ceremonial token gesture. That's the reality of it. And I don't know if Linda has any different opinion, but
no, you covered it well.
I mean, that's the reality of it.
Yeah, even the auditor said, well, you can't move the whole thing into, you can't put $2 million into unappropriated. So they're not even expecting to see that. They're fine with the way we do it.
So
I opened this can of worms at our last hearing, and I still stand on the way I appreciate the ceremonial gesture from the past. This is now 2015, and we're moving forward, and I don't see a point in locking up $300,000 that we cannot use. Not that we need it for anything, but it just makes more sense for me. So let's advance this budget and put that money in the in the contingency fund where it is available for use. It just doesn't make sense to me. And from the business world, I would never do this.
There are new rules that they enacted a few years ago that allows you to tap into unappropriated ending fund balances if you need to, but it has to be essentially a declared emergency. But you can't. Before, it didn't matter. You couldn't touch it no matter what. If you had the worst flood in the world and wiped out all your infrastructure, you couldn't touch it until the following fiscal year. They've eased up that and allows you, as long as there's been a declared emergency by the board, and then a declared emergency by the state, and then you could tap it for that specific purpose. But in all essence, it's ceremonial, and I don't disagree with Commissioner Pope at all if you want to move all of that money out of unappropriated and move it into contingency.
So, Linda, you said something. We could move it all at one time or something like that?
No, you would never move that much to unappropriated.
Oh, right.
So whatever you put in unappropriated is more ceremonial because we would never get to, I wish we could get to that level because that means we have a lot of extra money, but
yeah,
we would never go there. Because you almost always need an operating contingency 10-15% of whatever you're operating on, and then your unappropriate is kind of left over.
But even combined, even when you move 300,000 out of this unappropriated balance, you don't have 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least it gets, if we could do that, gets us closer to 10, it gives me that, because I kind of live in that, you should have at least 10% rural as well.
But if you deduct the 1.8 out of that, 19.9, you're at really 1.72 of operation money. So you are at a little above 10%. That's how I look at it. I net it out, and, you know, we're operating on about $17 million of operations money, and this would be 1.8 if you combine the two.
For an entity that had a lot of reserves, that would be a good place to park extra money to justify.
Right.
But we've never had that kind of money.
You have a lot of, you know, counties that have items like the burger, or some special, and rather than show it as appropriations, they dump a lot of their reserves in unappropriated, because the chances of them having to tap that are slim to none, but then it's off books also. We don't have that luxury.
Do we need a formal motion to do this action?
You probably should tell me to make a technical change and move it out of, move that out. I mean, what you're really doing is, you're moving it from something, when we actually adopt the budget, that $300,000 doesn't show as an appropriation. Now you're moving it into something that could be appropriated. So you are actually, to the document you're going to adopt in June, you're making a $300,000 increase.
And that's what scares me a little bit. I mean, just, it's nice savings that we know we have for next year each time. I mean, if we eliminate it, and we put it into contingency, contingency can be spent, and, you know, it just is kind of nice to have it there. I know we can get bridge loans pretty easily, but then that's pretty expensive money, so.
Expensive anymore, but we had to make a bridge loan 2 years ago.
So. I don't care, as long as we remember that if we do it, we need to keep contingency in about the same amount that we create this time, and not say, well, there's some contingency, some extra contingency money, let's spend that down too. I don't want to do that.
And so I appreciate that argument, absolutely, and sympathetic to that as well. And I can tell you that you've never heard me not argue for keeping a contingency balance.
That's true.
That's an intelligent amount, and I use bridges and roads and floods and natural disasters as one of the reasons for that, or multiple murder trial, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, fact is, we can burn all the contingency just in the DA's office and the courts, and end up with $300,000 in an unappropriated fund balance we can't use.
Right.
That's a lot of debt.
It is, but extreme scenarios, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So that is one of the arguments. It just, from the business standpoint, this doesn't make sense to me. Why are we locking up money for a ceremonial purpose? I mean, the fact is, we're supposed to be managing that for the best benefit and use of the taxpayer's services, and it's not doing that. So with that, I would like to make a motion that we stop the ceremonial activity and move this $300,000 into a fund that can be used for such.
I agree, Greg.
Good move, second by Commissioner Pope, and second by Commissioner Ainsworth, to move the ceremonial balance of $300,000 into the contingency fund so that we have access from a business perspective to manage that. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passing unanimous. Any other questions or comments about? No. I'm going to open the session for public comments, if there are any.
Yes, sir.
Would you come up to the table, state your name, and where you're from, and tell us what you want to tell us?
Thank you, Chairman Hartman. E.M. Easterly, 775 Fur Gardens, Northwest, West Salem, Oregon. Chairman Hartman, I very much appreciate the discussion of the compensation committee and the frustrations and the dealing with the issues that are in front of you and your proposal to the budget committee. I have an idea and a conversation, and I'm going to read most of this because it's probably the simplest way of doing it. I also appreciate Mr. Hansen's proposal with some hard numbers in front of us, and in the end, it will change some of my testimony. As I said, the task before you has not been an easy one. In April, County Administrator Hansen was cited in the IO proposing salary increases for county officials. According to Ms. Guzman's, Mr. Hansen offered the following rationale: try to level the playing field is warranted. Well, we heard a very good discussion and a very positive one from Mr. Hansen today in that regard. I was always wondering about how it was going to come out, and we got to see that today. The playing field in question is the comparative remuneration of elected county officials in a sample of Oregon counties. There's a two-sided fence that Mr. Hansen is talking about. First, I support Mr. Hansen's logic when discussing the salaries of Polk County employees and appointed administrators. As a county administrator, Mr. Hansen must, well, let's put it this way, has a primary responsibility to recruit and retain county employees. Polk County must pay adequate salaries to recruit and retain those qualified personnel. However, I must take umbrage. Mr. Hansen uses a similar argument to increase compensation for elected officials. First, each elected Polk County official ran for office knowing the current compensation package. Second, each elected person did so with no guarantee of additional compensation. Third, in the case of the elected commissioners, they voted to increase both their salaries and expense stipends during the last 4 years, while both federal subsidies and the overall expense of the county's economy was in a downswing. Fourth, our elected officials do have a personal choice. If they do not like their current compensation, they could run for other offices or move to another county. Probably not going to happen, but it is a reality. But I would also like to acknowledge that the elected positions of county assessor and or county clerk do not exist in non-county government entities. And to that point, I think some of the comments that you were making, Chairman Hartman, about looking at a couple of those jobs with a little higher number, you've persuaded me. However, rather than citing the salaries of comparative counties, elected officials, I would propose that the yardstick be a comparison of elected officials in other similar county, Polk County positions. Mr. Hansen gave us one example. So the compensation playing field, in this case, would be our county, not a group of counties. If we were to look at some of the big ones to our east, we have Marion County, we have Benton and Yamhill County. On the basis of Sheriff Wolf's salary might be compared to the police chiefs in Dallas, West Salem, Independence, or Monmouth. Similarly, county commissioners might be compared to another group of elected officials, and those are the city councils for those same communities. There is an alternative compensation, so there are alternative compensation solutions for elected officials that you might consider. And this is my proposal: that the salary increases for Polk County elected officials be limited to the fiscal year prior to their election. That actually happened several years ago here in Polk County, in particular for the county commissioner's position. Under this proposal, compensation increases for Polk County officials, elected officials, would be adjusted in the fiscal year of their election. For example, the county treasurer and one commissioner will be elected in 2016. Under this scheme, the two officers and the equivalent elected officials would be compensated at a new rate beginning July 1, 2016. Subsequent compensation increases would be limited to future election years. This compensation increases for four-year term officials would take place every 4 years. Or in the case of county commissioners, because they are offset, every 2 years. Accordingly, I'm asking the budget committee and then the commissioners to forego any increase in compensation for elected officials for fiscal 2015-16 and take up the matter in fiscal 16-17. Now, that was my original proposal, but I listened very carefully to the arguments proposed by the compensation committee, and I would indeed support the 6% for the two offices that you suggested if you were to ask my opinion. But I would not adjust any of the other kinds of compensation at this point in time. Now, I know that's very frustrating, but folks, those of you who are around the table that were elected did so with a certain amount of knowledge of that experience. And while I also acknowledge that some jobs, such as in this case the treasurer, might deserve some compensation, so I'm willing to go along with that part of the proposal. But I think you've got the overall content of what I'm trying to express to the budget committee in this discussion. And I'll end with a comment that Chairman Hartman made. You know, yesterday the voters made a very big jump. There was a change in the last 18 months of over 4,600 votes. We had 2,000 new votes saying yes and 2,600 negative voters from 18 months ago who did not make those negative votes. That's a reality. So I very much am respectful of the chairman's proposal that we got to live with the real world out there. And I understand Mr. Hansen's responsibility, obligation, and interest on behalf of the process. I just ask that the budget committee, and indeed when the time comes for the commissioners a month from now to make a decision, to think of this in the broader context. And that is the reason for this suggestion before you today.
Questions of Mr. Easterly?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Budget Committee action. First thing up is to consider the Compensation Board recommendation. The Compensation Board talked about it. The commissioners get to talk about it.
So that's all I kind of can start out. So I don't mind saying that I completely agree with everything that's been said, and I know that this is very challenging, very difficult, and so I'll just first say for myself, I'm not interested in a raise. So thank you, but no, I would prefer that that doesn't happen. Not only is it a perception issue, but it's the reality. I mean, I'm not interested in giving raises to the decision makers and, you know, really to the beneficiaries, departments of these dollars for the levy. We first have to solve this problem of reinvesting in our public safety system. So that, to me, is a priority. And additional dollars that we gained in this election yesterday just barely meet that bar. So those dollars really aren't fixing the problem in its entirety, but they are supplementing and getting us back to a place where at least we can expect the minimum level of staffing and services that we promise the community. So I'm personally obligated, I think, to understand that, declare that. I can generally agree with Mr. Easterly's statement about knowing this is what the salary is in this job going forward, and I could say that also about anybody's job in any department or in the private sector. When you get hired, you know what that salary is going forward, but you also have a reasonable expectation of getting compensated along with the entity as it performs and gains dollars. We've been through some tough time here in this business. There's no question about it, but we have some grossly underpaid people that are doing a mountain of work. And so I personally support the 6% for the treasurer and the clerk. I think those are the least we can do, and I think that's important. I kind of go along with also the statement of I'm challenged with the 2.5% proposal for the rest. Again, I'm not thinking that it's appropriate for the commissioners to take a raise, and I was hurt a little bit by the fact that we had to have this conversation during our election campaign. It was hard to deal with that, but I understood that it had to be done. But I've said to folks in the public, I'm not interested in getting that raise, so that's not what I'm after. But I understand Mr. Hansen's perspective and his job. So I think that our treasurer and our clerk for sure have waited long enough that we really do need to work a little harder on it. But I think 6% right now is what we should do, and that's all we should do for those two. And I do believe that we're going to readdress this. It's another problem that we have to tackle. And so we just got over one major mountain here. So this is the next one, and we're going to work on it as we go along. We need to see the balance of the improvements in our revenues from property taxes as it goes forward, not just from the levy. And again, we've made the promise that every dollar from this levy is going to go directly into public safety services. And so I want to make sure we do that. I think that we did have some room here in our budget without the levy to talk about some of these increases. But this Board of Commissioners knows probably better than anybody about some of the challenges for increases in costs for employees coming ahead. And I'm very sensitive about that. We've got some things that we simply can't say no to coming, with PERS and health benefits. We got some pretty serious mountains to climb going forward as well. So I'm just going to suggest we take baby steps here.
I almost agree. Real close.
Let's battle.
Real close. Of course, we got to
keep our fingers.
We got to do what we do with the sheriff, because that's the law.
That's the law.
I agree. I would not want to accept the increase for the commissioners as well. But I'm a little bit concerned about the assessor. I agree with the 6%. But I think that I would like to leave the assessor at the 2.5 for the same reasons that we would raise anybody's salary. He's working hard with less, just like everybody else. He's not as far behind, but he's quite a ways behind. And so I would like to keep the 2.5 for the assessor. And the rest, I agree with.
I think it's a difficult situation. Here we're going to try and vote on a raise for ourselves. I mean, it's difficult.
It's no fun writing the memo either.
Well, and it is the perception. It's the perception of, we just pass this levy, and then boom.
But I think, in all fairness.
But then again, all fairness, though, you look at how far you're lagging behind, and my concern is when we're done, what type of people are we going to find? I agree with what Vern said, too. I said, you can continue to push it off, but you're just getting farther and farther behind. I mean, if the clerk's 18% behind and, they weren't going to get anything and everything's going up 2%, then they're down 20%.
Yeah.
So, he just continues to spiral downward.
I think we were going to have this conversation anyway, even if the levy hadn't passed, specifically about those three offices.
Right.
Yeah. I believe that's, we were going to do that.
We had to.
Yeah.
We had to. I really don't want to live in a county where we're led by the lowest bidder. We want the best people, not the lowest bidder. And the other comment I have is several people have said, well, we have to think about the real world. But the CPI is supposed to be the real world, right? And how do you know what the real world is? You have to go out and get the documents. The documents are the cost of living indexes.
Well,
that's the real world.
The problem is the CPI for Portland is different than the CPI for the United States, and you look at the difference in those two, it's huge.
True.
So which one are you going to use?
Well,
so you
use the United States one to get my numbers, which is the lowest.
No,
I couldn't find good ones.
But it's not always the lowest. I've been here when the CPIW for Portland is much lower than the national.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it.
It does all kinds of things, so that's why it's tricky.
It's just a mark on the wall, you're right.
But even so, there, does anyone doubt that the cost of living has gone up over the last 6 years? It has gone up. It's gone up. It's more expensive when you go to the store. It's more expensive. So we're asking our electeds to just eat that, live with less. I mean, we're asking, it's fine to do that during a crisis, but don't we have to declare that the crisis is over at some point? The United States has declared that the crisis is over. State has declared that the crisis is over. When do we say it's over? So
when our revenues come above the threshold of emergency. We're getting there. We're just not quite there yet.
So I've heard several comments. I've heard we do something for the clerk and the treasurer at 6%. Mr. Wheeler said we should do something for the assessor. We had talked about 2.5% for everybody else. It sounds like the commissioners are saying we don't want to take the 2.5% from a political perspective. We have to do what the law says about the sheriff, so we don't have a lot of choice about that. So I guess what I'm hearing is the clerk and the treasurer get 6% and the assessor get 2.5% is what I'm hearing people say around the table right now. So am I mishearing that? Or if that's what I'm hearing, I would like to have a motion if that's the case.
So I would make that motion that we propose a 6% increase for the treasurer and the clerk, 2.5% for the assessor, and no increases for the stipend. And that's it.
Second.
Motion's been made by Commissioner Carroll, by the treasurer and the clerk, 6%, the assessor, 2.5%, no change to the stipend, and that's it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The motion passed with Mr. Wells.
So you left me silent on the sheriff, so I just got to do what I got to do for the sheriff.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do for the sheriff.
Okay. Very much. Okay.
I mean, you don't have a choice on that one, I guess. It'd be nice if you did.
It's all good. Yeah. Okay. Status quo on stipends.
Okay, we need to approve the 2015-16 budget as Mr. Hanson discussed earlier today. Now, we're approving it, or we're tentatively approving it again?
This is formal approval, so you can approve what you tentatively approve, or you can approve what I just recommended you should approve.
Right.
Obviously, the only changes that will occur is the $300,000 moving from unappropriated any fund balance up to contingency. And then when I calculate the salary increases, that will get taken out of the appropriate funds.
So I move we approve the 2015-16 budget as discussed and as modified.
Second.
Mr. Wheeler made the motion to approve the 15-16 budget as discussed. Mr. Watson will second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimously.
Then you need to set the general fund tax rate.
Right.
Which I'm recommending at 1.716 per thousand, which is our permanent rate.
Right.
recommending the debt service levy for the road bond at $2,750,000.
Right.
And then recommending the new rate for the public safety levy with the SRS offset at 0.3089 or 30.89 cents per thousand, option three.
That's option three, right?
Yeah, option three.
That will set all three rates and lock in the commissioners not exceeding, they couldn't exceed the permanent rate no matter what, but they, that would prevent them from increasing the levy for the road bond or the levy for the public safety.
And option three is what we've said all along as we're going out campaigning.
That's what we would offset.
And if something changes, we can, it would probably only change where we have more money, so you can make that modification downward without bringing the budget.
You just can't go up.
You can't go up.
Right.
Okay, I have a motion.
I saw a little bit.
I'll second. Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Ainsworth and seconded by Mr. Wells to set the general fund tax rate at 1.7960 per thousand, the debt service fund for the road bond tax levy at $2,750,000, and the public safety operating levy at 0.3089 per thousand. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. Any other things to come before the budget committee?
No, sir.
Okay, we're done. I move we adjourn. Until next time.
No, no.